Before we get started with today's episode, a quick word from our sponsor. If you're like me, you're probably doing a little spring cleaning, not just around the house, but around your business too. Well, why not reduce your digital clutter with NetSuite by Oracle? You can reduce costs and headaches in the process. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, all into one platform and with one source of truth. And with NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, and you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems, go from many to just one. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have made the move. Cut costs, boost performance, and reduce digital clutter. That is a smart move for sure. So by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just head to netsuite.com/SPI. That's netsuite.com/SPI, netsuite.com/SPI. Hey, we have an amazing event coming up, the Expert Advantage Workshop Series, where every day for a week, starting on Monday, May 20th, it's myself and another expert coming on to present to you about various kinds of things to help you with your brand and your business. Our brand new experts in residence and pro are going to be there to co-host these workshops with me. And you're not going to want to miss it. You'll have a chance to ask all of them questions, and it's completely free to join. All you have to do is go to smartpassiveincome.com/advantage. On Monday, May 20th, Amy Nelson's going to come on, and we're going to talk social media, but specifically how to drive revenue and connect with important stakeholders that matter to you in your business using social media. The next day, we have Nosheen Chen, and she's going to lead a presentation about how to become a better communicator, how to increase those skills faster, because that's going to help you not just connect with new people, new clients, but also get your idea across better. A ton of takeaways in that presentation. And all you have to do to sign up and join and get all the links that you need is smartpassiveincome.com/advantage. Again, one more time, smartpassiveincome.com/advantage. Join us on our Expert Advantage Workshop Series. You're not going to want to miss it. Again, smartpassiveincome.com/advantage. This is a Smart Passive Income Podcast with Pat Flynn, session number 76.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host. He watches scary movies with the lights on. Pat Flynn.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent. Match with them, thanks to Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data. Plus, their matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You can ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employees agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love how simple Indeed is, and it manages everything. Again, all in one place, from the screenings to the messagings, interviewing. You can do it all from Indeed, which makes it super easy to hire the right person that you need. So join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/smartpassive. Just go to Indeed.com/smartpassive right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/smartpassive. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Pat Flynn here, and I'm super stoked for today's session, session number 76. And in case you didn't know, the melody from the intro you just heard was from a song called 76 Trombones from The Music Man, actually one of my all-time favorite musicals. You know, before we get started, you know, along those lines, I just love to put little Easter eggs like that in my business and my brand. I mean, obviously, you can tell that I have a lot of fun with that kind of stuff. Over at BreakthroughBlogging.com, a product that I just launched, there are a lot of Back to the Future references within that course. That's my all-time favorite movie. From the icon to the other things throughout the course, it just adds a whole nother level of interactivity that keeps it interesting. You know, and there's a lot of people who are in there who have already commented and found things and have you know, thought that was pretty cool. So anyway, you know, a lot of other brands do the Easter egg thing, like In-N-Out and their secret menu, Starbucks and the unadvertised way to order things, Amazon.com's logo, you know, the one with that has the text Amazon and then a smiley face below that. Now, did you know that it's also an arrow that points from A in Amazon to the Z in Amazon? So it's an arrow that points from A to Z to suggest that they have everything that you could ever want to buy online from A to Z. Things like that, I just totally geek out about and imagine, the secret menu In-N-Out. You know, if you know that, you sort of feel like you're on the inside. You know, that's what Easter eggs can do for you and your brand. So I just wanted to start with that tip. You know, what Easter eggs or fun little surprises can you add to your brand to make your users feel special? And that's really what it's all about. Of course, you don't want other people to feel left out if they don't know those things. But it's one of those things that when people discover whatever it is, it's cool. And it helps to get people in your brand to stick around and also talk about it with each other and feel special when they get to reveal something like that to somebody else. Like, hey, did you know they have a secret menu? No, really? Yeah, totally. Next time you go, ask for the animal style french fries. It's an In-N-Out. So next time you go, ask for the animal style french fries. I'm not going to tell you what it is if you don't know. Anyway, we had a little off tangent there. Today's episode is actually a follow-up to a post that I published earlier this week titled The Effect My Kids Have Had on My Business. You can check it out at smartpassiveincome.com/kids. That's the short link to that article, and it's gotten a lot of great feedback so far. It's all about, you know, before I had kids, I was actually very worried about how having kids would affect my business, because obviously having kids takes a lot of time and hard work, which I knew was going to eat into the time that I had for my business and the energy that I had. But now, after experiencing parenthood for over 3 years, nearly 4 years now, I can definitely say that having kids has helped my business grow. My kids have taught me many things about how I work and what I do and why I do what I do that have led me to become a better business person. One of the specific things my kids have taught me is just how valuable my time is and how to become extremely productive with the little time I do have to work during the day. I actually get more work done now that I have kids compared to before I had kids. And that's because I've learned and have practiced how to become extremely productive and efficient. The work I do has to be effective. It has to be. I mean, I have no other choice because I can't just work 12 hours a day anymore. I can't. It's impossible. I mean, I could, but if I did that, it would be time away from my kids. And plus, I don't want to work 12 hours a day. But I want to get things done. I want progress to be made. So, of course, work still has to happen, but it needs to happen efficiently and effectively. So that's what this podcast episode is about. You know, on the surface, it's about productivity, but more importantly, it's about the things you can do to get things done, done well and done faster and done smarter, so that you can do other important things in your life too. That's the most important part, that last part. So you can do other important things in your life too. There are so many amazing resources out there already that help us become more productive. But what a lot of that stuff is missing is the why. You know, why are we trying to be so productive? To save time? For what? Unfortunately, the answer to that question for many people is to do more work, because they don't have a real answer. You know, they get more work done and they get it, they get it done smartly and faster so they can do more work, which is interesting. For me, you know, I didn't know what my why was until my wife gave birth to our son. And it was then that I realized the why. He almost forced me to realize it because I wanted to be with him so much and all the time. So I had to learn how to be productive. Like I mentioned in that post, every time after I had my son that I'd catch myself going down a YouTube wormhole or flipping through my Facebook newsfeed and things like that, I'd feel terrible. Because that's time away from my son and my family. When my daughter was born nearly 3 years later, that why became even stronger, and the need to become more efficient became much stronger too. For me, it's my kids. That's why I'm productive. But for you, it could be something else. But again, the point of this is that productivity, it's sort of like money. You know, we can make money, but what's it for? Sometimes people forget or they don't even know, and everything just becomes all about the money and making more of it and overworking yourself or putting money over other important things in life. We can save time and make more time by being productive. But what for? You know, sometimes people forget or don't even know, and everything just becomes about work and adding more to the list and taking on too many projects because, you know, you're able to work faster and smarter. So before we get to my top 10 tips for productivity, actually, it's not my top 10, sorry, it's my top, I believe it's 8. There's more than 8, but I have 8 listed because I'm going to be going over some previous productivity tips that I've shared before. So these are my top 8 productivity tips. Before we get to that, you know, I want you to ask yourself that question and answer it. Why do I want to be more productive? So we'll get to the how in just a second, but right now you need to answer this question. Why do I want to be more productive? You want to save time? Well, what for? So that you can, what? Why do I want to become more productive? If you don't have the answer yet, don't worry about it. You can come back to it later, but definitely search for that answer and own it. Make that your reason for learning how to be more productive and efficient and work smarter, and you will do what you need to do to make things happen if you know what that is. I tell you, my kids, they've taught me a lot, and I'm so thankful for it. So I hope the following tips and strategies help you too. Ow, I hit my hand on the desk. Now, I've talked about productivity before, specifically here on the podcast, actually. First time in episode number 12, which was a solo show I did back in December of 2010. So that was a while ago. Then I did another episode. It was actually an episode with 5 other people on it. That was episode 43, called the Summer Marketing Mashup Productivity show. And then more recently, I talked about productivity in session number 68. What I'm going to do is in the next 5 minutes, I'm going to recap the most important parts of each of those episodes because they are important productivity tips. You know, I don't want to skip over them, but I want to bring you something new in today's episode too, you know, in the meat of it. So going back to episode 12, there were 2 big takeaways for me. And hopefully for you too, if you've listened to that episode, and this is going to serve as a reminder for you if you did. The first one is having goals that are SMART, S-M-A-R-T, specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. To me, the 2 most important factors of those 5, in my opinion, I mean, they're all important, but the 2 most important factors when setting goals is making sure that they are measurable so you can actually know if you've achieved those goals or not, and also having a deadline to meet those goals, a specific time in which you have to complete those goals. That's what's going to help you push forward. Secondly, in that episode, I talked about a sort of folder system that I used, which I actually still use. So what happens is with each project that I undertake, I create a folder, an actual physical folder. Inside that folder is a sheet or sheets of paper that list the steps required in order to complete that project. When I first create these folders, I start with the end goal and sort of work backwards from there, doing everything I can to understand the path to get from where I'm at now to where I have to go. And if I don't know where what that path is, I do research. I ask people. I do whatever I can to give me the right direction to go there. And what happens is this big goal, this big project folder becomes broken down into little tiny achievable steps, which become mini goals, which is a roadmap where I can check off things as I complete them. And that act of just checking them off is so incredibly motivating. And I can see, I can literally see or literally see each time I check the next box, how much closer I am to the end goal. Now, steps will be added and, you know, things will be changed along the way. And I may not always follow the written path or a checklist, but it's there as a guideline and a motivator for me. And it's something I can take into my hands. Like when I'm working on something, I could take it into my hands, open it up and say, okay, this is the project we're focusing on now, this particular folder. What within this folder or what within this project matters right now? What's the next task to complete? This is how I'm able to manage and sort of organize multiple projects at the same time. Yes, different projects are going on at the same time, but when I'm working and trying to be productive, I'm only focused on one of those projects, one of those folders, and one of those particular parts of the checklist at a time. So that's episode 12. In episode 43, the biggest takeaway for me, well, again, a couple of things. This was an awesome session with five other amazing entrepreneurs, Dan and Ian from Lifestyle Business Podcast, Jeremy and Jason from Internet Business Mastery, and Tim Conley from Foolish Adventure. We all shared some of our top productivity tips, and mine was to exercise and stay healthy. Like, I cannot emphasize enough the importance of that. It will help you focus. It will help you be more creative when you need to be creative. And it'll help you get more done when you need to get things done. Plus, I mean, come on, you have to stay healthy. I mean, if you have a why behind what you do, if you're not healthy, then it's hard to enjoy whatever that why is, right? If I wasn't eating right and exercising, I'd be too tired to play with my kids, or I wouldn't live as long as I could and be with them as much as I can throughout my life. I mean, I swear, a week after you begin to work out and eat right, you'll see major changes in your productivity. And the time that you feel like you lose working out and running or eating well, cooking nicely, you get back in focus and creativity and just brain power and productivity. I mean, you'll see just how much of an impact it has. Richard Branson's number one productivity tip is exercise. I mean, what does that tell you? The other thing that came from this episode, number 43, was from Jeremy from Internet Business Mastery Academy or internetbusinessmastery.com. And it has to do with learning and staying focused on learning what you need to learn at that moment in time. He calls it just-in-time learning. And I love that. And the reason this is so important for productivity's sake is because, think about it, learning what to do is a major part of what we do, right? A lot of the time we spend is spent learning. And with so many things to do, it's really easy to learn too many things at once. And when you get to that point when you're learning too much, you become overwhelmed. And I know we've all felt that overwhelm before. Too many things going on at once. And with learning, it's tough because a lot of those things that we want to learn are important. They just might not be important now. So the trick is to A, know what you're going for right now, like what's your next task that, like we talked about earlier, and B, learn stuff for that right now, and that's it. You know, if you come across another article or podcast or tool that could help you later, it's still smart to acknowledge that that's there, but don't get deep into it where you all of a sudden shift direction and start something new, and the other thing wasn't even finished yet. I know we've all fallen into that trap before, you know. So when you come across something new that you don't need right now because it's not what you're focusing on, file it. Now, what I do is I use Evernote. So if I come across something on the web, for example, I use a tool called Evernote Web Clipper. It's sort of an add-on tool to Evernote that allows me to save something on the web and drop it right into my Evernote, you know, a specific notebook that I have already set up in Evernote, which is great. And I know I can come back to it later. And then, you know, I can go back to what I'm supposed to be learning right now. I mean, that was a huge takeaway for me from that particular episode personally. And in the most recent productivity session in number 68, I only talked about one productivity tip, but it was a big one. And it's the idea of working in small, but complete, all the way to finish batches. So finishing until completion, until repeating and doing again, instead of, you know, doing all the first step of something and then all the second step of something, etc. I recommend you listen to that episode to get the full gist of what was being talked about. It's sort of hard to explain in just a few sentences. It kind of goes, you know, what's interesting about it is it goes against normal thinking. You know, what we think would be faster is actually slower, which is kind of cool. Now, for this episode, which I'm really excited about, I'm going to give you some of my top tips, which range from, you know, mindset in certain scenarios and situations to specific tools that you can use and other mind hacks that might work in your favor. But again, never forget the why behind all of this, or else really it's just, you know, really it's just pointless. I mean, why do I want to become more productive? Ask yourself that. Write it down. Post it onto your computer because it's what's going to make you feel bad when you aren't productive. And it's what you will have to look forward to once you complete what you're doing that day. So why do we want to become more productive? Answer that. Post it somewhere. That's what's going to make you feel bad, and that's what's going to push you forward. Feel bad when you're not being productive. That's what I meant. Okay, so let's get into these eight tips. Tip number one, and this one's actually another question to ask yourself,
And you'd ask yourself this question when anybody asks you to do something or anything new sort of comes up, any new, you know, this goes along with that learning thing, just-in-time learning as well. You know, anything new that comes up. Of course, we'll be working on something and then get interrupted or something new. You know, we'll get an email for something new. People will ask us things. The best thing you could do is ask yourself the following question about whatever it is that's presented to you. The question is, how does this fit into my overall plan? Like, why does this matter? For example, if someone comes up to you and asks you to do an interview, you want to ask yourself, well, how does this fit into my overall plan? And if it doesn't, then maybe it's something that you shouldn't do and you should consider declining. Actually, it's something you should decline. It's a really simple question to ask yourself that will help you make better decisions and make those decisions faster, which is the point here. You know, decisions that sometimes take a lot of thinking and time, especially when, you know, when you're presented with these opportunities, you think about the benefits and the possibilities and the planning and the acting on it or whatever. But the truth is before you make a decision, you need to take it down to the core, to the root level of really what matters. How does this fit into my overall plan? Someone sends you 5 books out of nowhere as a gift. And also obviously to share with your audience. You know, they send you 5 books, 1's for you, 4 for your audience. The author says, I love your work, Pat. I wanted to give you my new book as a thank you for your inspiration and 4 other books that you can give away to others if you'd like. So ask yourself, how does this fit into my overall plan? Is it a book that fits my plan? If not, I'm not going to read it really, but I'll happily accept it. You know, you don't want to deny people the kind act of giving you something, but will giving it away to my audience fit into my overall plan? Either, yes, it'll better serve my audience and be a great gift for a few lucky participants in a contest or, you know, people who have been helping me out lately, I can just give it to them. And maybe for that reason, it would fit into my overall plan and I would give it away. Or maybe not. It's a book that doesn't really align with my own goals and my audience's goals, so I'm going to respectfully decline or just not take the time to give them away. Someone leaves a nasty comment on your blog. Dude, you should totally reply to that. How does replying fit into my overall plan? Will a reply better serve my audience? Maybe perhaps be an example for everybody else or answer a question that everyone else might have? But, you know, depending on the comment, it may be worth just leaving there or deleting the whole thing. Again, it's a fantastic question to ask yourself all of the time when new things come up and decisions have to be made. How does this fit into my overall plan? If it doesn't, move on. See, that's a great question to ask yourself when you're out buying something and, you know, you go to the Apple store or whatever and you're about to buy something. How does this fit into my overall plan? You might save a few $100s, actually, if you ask yourself. Or you might be very proud of a purchase that you know is going to help you. Okay, tip number 2. Almost along the same lines, and this is something I've had to learn how to do in the last year or so. I was really bad at it, especially after my daughter was born. I had to really, really know how to do this because I had even less time to do things. I've struggled with this quite a bit. I've had to learn how to say no. Saying no is one of the hardest things to do. Especially when there are opportunities involved, especially when you're being asked by people you know and trust and love. I mean, it's so easy to say yes, but you don't realize when you say yes sometimes just how much time it might take away from what you know you should be focusing on. I mean, I know, trust me, I know what it's like to want to be liked by everyone, which means trying to please everyone and oblige. It's especially hard when your friends and colleagues ask you for favors or they need you to do this or that. But saying no is going to save you so much time and it will keep you on track. And of course, the saying no part comes as a result of understanding how those types of things you need to make a decision about fit into your overall plan, like we talked about in the last tip. Quick story, earlier this year, I got invited to speak at an event in Italy. It's the place I've always wanted to visit. I studied architecture there, you know, Florence, Rome, Venice, and all that stuff. It was my favorite part of architecture history class. And I got invited to speak there, to get paid to go and speak there. And speaking is something I absolutely love to do now. I mean, what more could I ever want? This is a huge opportunity. Well, I ended up declining the offer, which hurt a little because, yeah, maybe it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Maybe not. I mean, I'm hoping not, but maybe it was. But I thought to myself, how does this fit into my overall plan? And with the launch of a product this year, my book coming out, my daughter being born just recently, it would have been a trip that was done more because it was for me and because it was Italy than one that would benefit what I was doing and what my goals are. You know, I can always go to Italy later. It was an attractive offer, but it wasn't what I needed to do at that time. So it made the decision a lot easier. And I don't feel bad because of it. You know, I was able to make that decision, move on, and hopefully other opportunities might come my way in which I would then reassess the situation and make another decision based on what's right for me in my business at that moment in time. And also, more importantly, what's right in my life at that time. Like I said, a big part of that decision was my why. I didn't want to leave my six-month-old baby, my wife, and my son for like 2 weeks. No way. I mean, that made the decision really easy. I dare you to say no to drugs and stuff, anything that doesn't align with your goals and your why. Okay, tip number three, don't email sabotage yourself. This is a tip I think I picked up from the 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss, but I can't remember exactly because it's a small tip that isn't talked about very often. So it may not seem that important, but it absolutely is. I mean, especially nowadays with smartphones and how easy it is to check email. I mean, we could dedicate a whole episode, probably a whole 10 episodes to cranking out emails, mastering email management and all that stuff. But email sabotage is a term I'm calling this. It's checking your email in a place where you can't take action on that email no matter what those emails might say. Or you're in a place where you know you should be focusing on something else like your family or the movie you're trying to enjoy or just life. I mean, email has this evil ability to take us away from what we're doing no matter what it is. And just suck us in, even if we can't do what that email asks us to do the moment we read it. The moment we read it, our mind is there on that task, you know, in that email, whatever that email's about, and it's no longer in the present where it was before you checked your email. I mean, if you get an email, for example, and it requires you to do something and you can't do it because you're not, you know, at home or whatever, I mean, what's the point? You could have just read that email when you got at home and the time at which you could finally act on that email, it would have never changed. I mean, it wouldn't change. But more importantly, you weren't, you know, if you just waited, you aren't taking yourself away from what you should have been doing, like paying attention to your, I don't know, significant other while playing mini golf. You know, when you decide to open your phone and check email and then you get a slap in the face or something. I don't know. But the point is, I found that a lot of times I used to check emails, and even though I couldn't answer them right away and do what the emails suggested I do, you know, if they were from like a team member or I had to do something, I kept thinking about those things and it took me away from the present. And that wasn't fair to whoever was around me. And it wasn't fair to myself too, because part of productivity is not just being productive when you're at work, but being productive at life, right? So there are a few things you could do. You know, one thing is I turned off email notifications on my phone. You know, I don't want my phone to tell me when I got an email. I want to check my inbox when I'm ready to check my inbox, if that makes sense. So that's probably the biggest tip there. But also just don't email sabotage yourself. All right, tip number four. If you do stuff that's repetitive, meaning you do certain tasks or complete certain tasks over and over and over again, systemize those things, meaning write down all the steps that you take to do whatever it is that repetitive task is, and then take out everything that's unnecessary. You might find that by writing things down, you're going to see, well, why is this in here? We don't need to do this. Or you might be able to combine steps to make it even shorter. This way, you can hone in on exactly what you need to do to complete the same task, and or you can give that task to someone else, and they'll be able to do it the way you want them to do. And you know, because you've taken out all the unnecessary steps, it's going to get done much faster. And if you have someone else do it, I mean, you're not putting any work in that at all if it's something that you can hand off. Now, if it's something you do over and over again, you know, either look for other people to help you or use tools to help you with those repetitive tasks. For example, I get a lot of emails and many of those emails are the same or they ask the same exact questions. And since they are the same, they require somewhat of a similar answer, of course. Now, instead of trying to type out the answer to each individual email manually, I use a tool to help me quickly plug in the response that I've already pre-written for that particular question. There's a Gmail tool called Gmail Canned Response, which is like an add-on, I believe, for Gmail that will make it really simple for you to just save a response one time so you can bring it back again later. Make sure you change the names or anything else that's custom for each person. I've done that a couple times. But there's a better tool that I like, actually, that I use called Text Expander, which is for Mac. I believe there might be an alternative for PC, although I don't know. And what I like about Text Expander, it's not just for, you know, in your Gmail email client. It's for your entire computer. You know, I think it's the tool I use the most every day besides Evernote. Now, how it works is you can have a pre-written message or pre-written messages, any number of them, and it could be for anything, email, signatures, even HTML and PHP code if you're a coder. You know, I have a number of those for, you know, creating tables within emails and things like that. And with each block of text or characters that you pre-write, you can also set a corresponding abbreviation or set of characters on your keyboard, which allows you to just type in those few letters or those characters in that same sequence, and immediately those letters disappear, and in its place are everything that you've pre-written. It's so awesome. I mean, I even have it for specific words like thanks and cheers, you know, or thank you so much and cheers, have a nice day. That is TY with the exclamation point, boom, it disappears, and thank you, have a nice day comes in, and CR exclamation point for the cheers one. I mean, yeah, it's only a fraction of a second I'm saving here and there, but there are words I type in all, these are words I type in all the time, you know, multiple times a day. And over the course of the day, that's a lot, that's, you know, significant amount of time, or maybe not that significant, but over a year, over my entire lifetime, that's a ton of time saved. I mean, we never think about the long-term savings. We always want the short-term, you know, but a fraction of a second, which seems like nothing now, over time can shave off a ton of time and allow you to do other things. So the point is, and sort of a second conclusion to this number tip number four, is just shave off seconds anywhere you can. Now, tip number five, stemming off of that last statement, shave off seconds anywhere you can, a great productivity tip is to take what you do and what you enjoy doing in your business and upgrade your skills. That means pay for training, get mentorship, take classes, do whatever you can to just get better at those skills, to master those skills that you love to do and put it to use so that, you know, they become second nature to you. Because when they become second nature, you're not even thinking about it anymore. Those things just happen. And you could speed right through them, and they just, you know, they still have the same quality, if not better quality than what you're used to. I've taken writing seminars, for example, as a result of knowing just how much I was going to be writing for my blog and my books and things like that. I did that because I knew it would help me better master the craft of writing blog posts. And although I know I'm not perfect at it, I know I'm pretty good at it, and I don't have to think much anymore or as much as I used to in order to write a nicely structured, compelling, shareable, potentially viral blog post. And of course, yes, practice and time and experience help, but taking classes helped even further. It sped up the process. So think about it. What skills should you improve and master? So start with the ones you love. And yeah, I do enjoy the writing process. Now, tip number six. Now, what about the tasks and things that you don't love to do, but still have to get done? If you want to truly be productive, you're going to have to learn how to let go of a lot of those things and have somebody else do them for you. Somebody who could potentially do them more efficiently, better and faster, and at the same time as you, so you can do what you need to do. Hiring help is the ultimate in productivity, and only recently have I truly learned the power of that. Now, you may have noticed, if you've been following Smart Passive Income for a little bit, in the last couple months, I've been able to produce quite a bit of stuff for the SPI audience. Not only have I been able to continue to produce podcasts like this and blog posts, but I've come out with a book Let Go, a multimedia book that included a lot of video production. I've come out with nichesiteduel.com, a hub that was built from scratch with a community for those participating in the Niche Site Duel. And I've come out with a full-fledged course called Breakthrough Blogging, which you can see what it's all about at breakthroughblogging.com if you wish. But the point is that these past 2 months have been the most productive of my blogging career. And it's because I've had a team working with me on these specific projects. And what's awesome is that this is a team that truly cares about my business. I mean, we have an awesome relationship together, and we share the same values, and we all really want the business to succeed. And I'll talk in a later episode about the team I put together and maybe have them come on too and talk about how this all works and what we could improve on and things like that and the challenges that go along with having a team. But even before putting together this particular team I have now, which meshes really well together, I also had to learn back in the day how to hire out single tasks like voiceover work and accounting and bookkeeping and research and things like that, using sites like Odesk and Elance and hiring people like my CPA. You know, I'd probably still be doing my taxes from 2010 if it wasn't for my CPA, who knows what he's doing because that's what he's an expert in. And yes, it takes money to get help, unless, you know, you get an intern or someone to volunteer, which is cool too. But you just have to realize that you can only do so much. You can only do so much. And if you really want to grow, you're going to have to get some help. So again, something that took a really long time for me to realize, and I want to share that with you. Okay, tip number 7. This one actually comes from a video that I saw from Yaro Starock. Yaro, who blogs at entrepreneurs-journey.com, put out a video a few months ago, and I've honestly been trying to look for it. I couldn't find it, but if I do, I'll put it in the show notes. Anyway, the video was Yaro talking about one of his favorite productivity tips, which really resonated with me, and I gave it a shot, and it worked really well. And this was the tip. He said, before you start your work, do the dishes. Do the dishes. Or any little 10-minute task that needs to be done around the house. Because what happens is when you do that, you're transitioning yourself into work mode from sort of rest mode. You know, you're probably starting to think while you're doing that task a little bit about what you're going to do when you start your work. You know, you get out of that relaxed mode, and guess what? You've also finished something that needed to be done around the house, and it feels great. And you move on to your business in a good mood because you finished something already, and you'll have a head start mentally, as opposed to if you just went into the grind sort of cold, you know, just, okay, let's start work. You know, it's better to have the dishes to do. I've actually been using this strategy myself the last few months after watching this video, and it totally works. And of course, my wife also appreciates that the dishes get done. So there's that added benefit as well. Now, this last tip, tip number 8, last but not least, this one has to do with interruptions. And this one's an important one. Whenever we're working, you know, as much as we try to avoid it, as much as we close the door or whatever, we're always going to be interrupted. And yes, the best thing to do would be to say, hey, hold on, I have to finish this and keep going with what you're doing until you get to a good stopping point or you complete a particular task on your checklist. But of course, that doesn't always happen, or we don't always have that opportunity. It doesn't happen very often, actually. This is important to talk about because when you're focused and you're in work mode and then something happens to your flow, it's devastating. You know, it takes forever to get back to that point. You may never get back to that point. And once you're out of it, it just takes forever. Now, here's the trick. When you're interrupted with something or by something or for something, and you have to go do something else in the middle of what you are already doing, before you leave, you say to yourself out loud, when I get back, the first thing I'm going to do is blank. And you fill in the blank. You don't actually say blank, of course. When I get back, the first thing I'm going to do is finish this paragraph about tip number 8. And there you go. So by simply saying what you're going to do, when you get back to what you're going to do, you're going to remember exactly where you left off. And there will be a better chance you'll get back into the swing of things, into the groove, without having to guess where you were and without taking too much time. You know, I get interrupted all the time here at home because I have crazy kids. And the strategy is absolutely gold to me. And so I'm passing it along to you, and I want you to give it a shot. And I have to say, you know, for me, I have to say it out loud, actually. That's just me. But when I just think it, when I just think to myself, I'm going to go back to whatever, it doesn't work quite as well for some reason. I have to say it out loud. So give that a shot the next time you're interrupted, and then report back to the blog and let me know if that helped. I'm curious to know if it helps you too. Or maybe you have a get back into it strategy of your own that you'd like to share with everyone. So head on over to smartpassiveincome.com/session76 and leave a comment there. So there you go. 8 productivity tips that I use. And seriously, if you were to take just one of these tips, actually, let's go over them again really quick. 1, how does this fit into my plan? Remember, ask yourself anytime something new happens or an opportunity happens, how does this fit into my plan? 2, learning to say no. And again, that takes practice. It's hard. 3, don't email sabotage yourself. If you can't do anything about the emails, like no matter what those emails say at that point in time, don't look at the emails. You're going to lose yourself. 4, use tools to help you with repetitive tasks and systemize things and take out the unnecessary and combine steps if you can. 5, upgrade the skills you love to associate with you. 6, outsource or get other people to help you with the stuff that you don't like or can't or don't want to do. 7, do the dishes. 8, when you're interrupted, say, when I get back, the first thing I'm going to do is blank. So just take one of these, implement it, and you're going to see a difference, especially in the long run, but even in the short run too. In this, if you're going to try one of them, try saying no. I mean, that's probably the biggest one here. That one will make you feel pretty crazy on the inside too. But if you remember the why, you know, why you're saying no, and also with these other things, remember, why are you saying no? Why are you using these tools and upgrading your skills? Why are you doing the dishes? Why are you trying to become more productive? It's going to make productivity a lot more meaningful and everything that you're working towards a lot more meaningful too. So thank you again for listening to the Smart Passive Income podcast. Show notes are available and you can leave comments at smartpassiveincome.com/session76. I appreciate you so much. You are awesome for sticking all the way through this episode, and I'm just so appreciative of you. Look out for me on the speaking circuit in the next couple of months. Financial Blogger Conference opening keynote speech, my very first keynote in October in St. Louis. It's going to be an awesome event. I can't wait. It's my favorite conference of all time. Also, New Media Expo, another conference I love in January. I hope to see you there. I don't know. I think tickets are going to be on sale soon. New Media Expo. It's going to be awesome in Vegas. So if you're a Vegas person, that's a good one to go to as well. So yeah, until next time, keep rocking it. Thank you, everyone, so much. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Entrepreneurs, what is the smart way to save when your growing business takes you on the road? Whether you're going to events or conventions or you're speaking somewhere, no matter what it is, you need to sign up for a free membership with Hertz Business Rewards. Yep, Hertz Rental Car created a program to help small and mid-sized businesses save money. Work trips, client meetings, industry conferences. With Hertz Business Rewards, you save at least 20% every time you rent a car. And you'll save on more than just the daily rate. Members earn credits redeemable toward free rental days, and it's also free to add an additional driver if any additional coworkers come along. And for those Gen Z entrepreneurs out there, no young renter fees. Plus, sign up for Hertz Business Rewards today and earn 3x credit during your first 90 days. These benefits add up to big savings that stack more dollars in your wallet. Join for free at hertz.com/businessrewards. Applies to base rate, taxes, fees, and options excluded. Additional terms and exclusions apply. Visit hertz.com/business rewards to learn more. Starting a business can feel daunting and confusing, but it doesn't have to be. That's why Terry Rice started the Launch Your Business podcast, another awesome show from the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Each week, Terry shares strategic actions, specific tools, and what he refers to as high-performance mindsets that allow you to thrive under pressure. Recent guests include rapper T.I., Amy Porterfield, and yours truly. And Terry frequently publishes value pack solo shows too, like this one titled How to Write Proposals That Get Accepted and Don't Take Forever to Write. Great stuff. So make sure you listen in to Launch Your Business right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.